News Talk Breakfast with Ciara Kelly and Shane Coleman.
In association with AIR.
On News Talk.
Taoiseach Micheál Martin, good morning.
Good morning, Shane.
You announced a hugely ambitious plan yesterday, $112 billion outlay in just 5 years, obviously welcomed in many quarters. But I have to put it to you, and this is coming through on the text line from our listeners this morning, we have seen countless plans, housing, infrastructure, transport, previous NDPs, none have really delivered. Why will this one be any different?
But that's not true. I mean, 170 kilometres.
It is true, Minister. We're still waiting on a lot of things in previous plans to be delivered.
Okay. Well, let's take the new Ross bypass, Dunkettle interchange, Mycullen bypass, N22 in Buccleuch, N5 Westport Turlock, all delivered. Active travel infrastructure throughout Ireland, 660 kilometres of walking infrastructure, 400 kilometres of cycling infrastructure, 220 kilometres of greenways, all delivered under the last plan. 53,000 new local authority scheme dwellings completed since 2021. 110,000 premises connected to high-speed broadband as a result of the National Broadband Plan.
We can play this game, Taoiseach, if you want. The Metro Plan, the Children's Hospital.
Yeah, but it's not a game, Shane. Hang on a second now. It's not a game. And I would withdraw. You made an assertion there, and people are suggesting. And I accept this kind of thing is in the air. Oh, the last NDP didn't deliver. It did deliver. 800 school building projects have been completed since 2020. 300 other projects are under construction. The world hasn't stood still.
I take your point then
on some issues.
Yeah.
Like the Children's Hospital has taken an inordinate length of time, and there's been a dispute between the hospital board and the contractor there. But that's near completion, but it should have been completed a long time ago. But of course, that predated the last National Development Plan.
It did, and I accept once the hospital is built, we'll all forget about it.
But the Mater Hospital, for example, the Rock Ring 112-bed ward was completed in 2023. The Forensic Central Hospital, National Hospital, completed in 2022. Maryland Park University Hospital, Orthopaedic Operating Theatres.
Housing delivery, we're way off where we want to be. Your own housing minister has accepted we won't hit our targets for that this year.
We're way off where we wanted to be, but without the last National Development Plan and the $17 billion that was then allocated to the housing department for housing and related infrastructure, delivered a real step change in terms of the number of houses that we've completed, going from about 20,000 to 30,000 this year. This plan about close to $36 billion allocated to the housing department, but the private sector will have to take up a lot of the slack, and we'll have to contribute far more significantly to apartment building and to houses over this five-year plan, in addition to what is unprecedented state investment in housing. State is the major investor in housing at the moment. That in itself isn't sustainable over the long term, and therefore we do need to balance housing construction a bit more evenly between the state and the private sector.
Okay, that being said, the word is behind the scenes, you are increasingly frustrated, and you are expressing this frustration at a can't do attitude in the public service in relation to infrastructure projects, that you're deeply frustrated. Where does that frustration lie, and what do you want to see happen in the public sector in terms of delivering this?
Well, energy and urgency. I think a lot of people are doing a lot of good work within the public service. I think the creation of the infrastructure division within the Department of Public Expenditure is a significant development, and Minister Jack Chambers is leading that. He also has an external task force advising him in terms of issues that are blocking development, and they will come to government with recommendations on that front. Issues like, for example, around the country, we do want local developers, for example, in smaller towns and villages to be enabled to do water schemes and wastewater treatment plants to facilitate the building of smaller housing developments. These are areas where Irish Water will not get to, and that's committed to, and we've had discussions with Irish Water in relation to that, who would oversee the standards, and we'd have an expectorial regime. That's taken too long.
I was going to say that to you, Taoiseach. You talk about urgency and energy. you don't get a sense that, that like, for example, and I'm not saying people aren't entitled to holidays, I'm not going down that road, but you get a feeling with the state that nothing will happen now until September 1st, that the public sector will effectively close down for the next month.
No, that will not happen. That day is gone, you know. Already, you know, we had about, I don't know, 35 more items on the cabinet agenda yesterday. An investment into group water schemes, for example, up to 70 odd million. So a lot of work, and over the next number of weeks, ministers will be developing their sectoral plans as a result of the allocation that they received from the National Development Plan. So various ministers will, by the time of the budget, be announcing the detailed implications of this National Development Plan insofar as it applies to education, to health, to higher education and research.
Okay, because you were accused yesterday of being a little of being vague in terms of what you were actually going to deliver in this plan. People were saying lack of detail. The opposition were saying, where is the beef here?
Well, in a couple of weeks' time, you'll get the beef in terms of the specific projects. I think it was important to set the overall levels and to agree overall levels with individual departments. They fought very hard. Individual ministers did, with the Minister for Public Expenditure, who had a tough challenge to reconcile all the competing interests. And we had to try and do it in a way that would be fiscally sustainable over the next 5 years. Mm. And that's what we've, I think, achieved in this publication. But there's still a significant distance to go. And I do take the point that, you know, on the bigger projects like the Greater Dublin Drainage Project, for example, planning has been the key blocker, if you like.
What's happened in that project, Taoiseach, is nothing short of madness. I mean, we're 6 years that's been in the courts and in planning. And I know you spoke about this yesterday and said, you know, about too many judicial reviews. But are you going to do anything practical in relation to that?
We are. And in terms of the, even yesterday at the cabinet table, there was further decisions in commencing some of the sections of the Planning Act that we passed in the last Dáil to streamline judicial reviews and make them far more efficient and less costly. And the Minister has taken some measures already in terms of commencing elements of that bill in respect of JRs. I would appeal to the public more generally, though, to reflect before we go down the road of judicial reviews on so many projects. I mean, the numbers have exponentially grown. It's the public lose out. It's the common good loses out overall.
Appealing to the public.
Well, it matters.
That's not a policy. I mean, we know there are people who they will object to everything, that whether it's housing, whether it's water, whether it's overhead electricity, power lines, that is going to happen.
Yeah, but that needs to be challenged in the public domain. I would argue that government needs to be far stronger in terms of communicating this issue.
Making them pay their costs, for example? The state's very benign when it comes to people not having to pay their costs.
That is an aspect of the Planning Act that we hope to finalise in the next number of weeks, which will deal with the cost issues in terms of judicial review. And I think that is an important element of it. What I'm basically saying, though, is that people object perhaps without having the wider implications in insight. And it's the younger people of this country we have to make sure that we have a sufficiency of housing, a sufficiency of water, and a sufficiency of energy.
Okay.
And that means overhead lines. It means if we can do underground, we can, but if we can't, we can't. It means in terms of wastewater treatment plants, which when you think about it, wastewater treatment plants is about cleaning up the water in estuaries.
Oh, listen, no argument here.
I think environmentalists can never get to the bottom of it.
Well, it was held up over a tiny point of law, is my recollection of that particular case.
On that one, yes.
Can I ask you two last questions about the National Development, just as specifics? Metro has been promised since you were first in cabinet and I was a young journalist. Will it ever be delivered? Do we have a start date? Do we have a completion date? Will it ever happen?
It will happen. And I'm very determined as Taoiseach to make sure that we commit to this. And the first instalment has been 2 billion allocated in this plan. We hope to get a planning decision soon. And then obviously there's a
and when you get that, will it start?
Well, the procurement process will start. Barring any, hopefully we don't have a JR in respect of that. But the procurement process will in itself take some time because it is an enormous project. But the government is very clear we're going to get this done.
Okay.
I'm not clear that Dublin is sustainable without a metro, and I think from a climate perspective, we do have to move decisively to public transport.
Michael O'Leary says it's madness. The airport's only 12 kilometres from the city centre. It's not really linking up to other transport links. It's bringing it to the city centre. It's not going on to the south side again, which is down to local objections. Does he have a point about putting all our eggs in one transport?
If you don't start something like this, you're not going to be able to add on or do things into the future. You know, we're having a similar argument in terms of light rail in Cork. In my view, start it. And there's been a tendency that it's all or nothing in terms of infrastructural projects. I actually feel you need to get projects started. And over time, it evolves and people add to it. You remember the row about Lewis and Dart. Similar calls. People, oh, it's impossible, not doable, won't have the finances to do it. Where would we be today without them?
Okay. In relation to the summer economic statement, we spoke to the respected economist Barrow Rowntree a little bit earlier on the show. He was making the point that this argument that the government is saying, we'll spend this money unless there's a big issue with tariffs, and then if there is a big issue with tariffs, we'll have to reassess. He was saying that goes against all the fundamentals of counter-cyclical economics. He described it as Charlie McCreevy for slow learners. When I have it, I spend it. He said it was completely the wrong approach. He has a point.
Well, the Future Ireland Fund isn't about when we have it, we spend it.
We've put, close
to the end of this year, 16 billion put away in the Future Ireland Fund. We've put funding into the Infrastructure, Climate and Nature Fund. And I was determined to get that done in the last government. And Minister Michael McGrath, Minister Pascal O'Donoghue, worked to get that over the line. Opposition criticised it. But in terms of the summer economic statement, one has to have a planning framework for any budget. And yes, there are uncertainties in respect of tariffs and so forth. It's difficult to be definitive in terms of the implications on government revenue, particularly for the next 12 months in respect of the tariffs. I'd acknowledge that. But one has to have some ballpark. And what actually is happening, if you look at the figures, you're looking at a moderation in growth of current spending compared to the run rate over the last 2 to 3 years.
Excessive spending, unprecedented spending over the previous 3 years, some would say.
Yeah, but some would say that. But then we had COVID-19. Yeah. We had Brexit before
COVID-19. We had a general election last year, which many people say was the prime motivator.
But we did have COVID-19.
Yeah.
We did have an energy crisis caused by Russia's illegal invasion of Ukraine.
Okay.
And inflation went through the roof. And even now the opposition are calling for more and more spending.
Well, they are.
In addition
they
to
are.
What the government
I can't, you know? I can't argue with that. The economist Barrow Rowntree is also very critical of this move. Now, you haven't confirmed it is going to happen, but to spend up to €1 billion on a VAT cut for the hospitality rate. He says this isn't good economics. Basically, he says there's other things in the programme for government that should take priority for this. He says the hospitality sector is doing incredibly well at the moment. Employment up 7%. Are we going to really spend €1 billion of the €1.5 billion tax pot on one sector, eroding our tax base further?
Well, first of all, the tax package hasn't been decided upon yet in respect of the budget. We did make commitments in respect of the hospitality industry because it's an industry that has come under a lot of pressure with quite a number of closures over the last year and a half.
Yeah, apparently 11 new companies incorporated for every liquidation in the sector.
Yeah, but that illustrates a degree of churn and fluidity as well. But people are under pressure in that industry, and it is a significant industry in terms of employment and also in terms of the tourism industry.
Yeah, cutting VAT though helps the big restaurants change, the expensive restaurants change, the McDonald's or the Michelin star restaurants, does it not?
It helps workers. In terms of supporting employment in sectors and in that sector in particular. Okay. It is a very important area for employment, in my view. Many young people get their first rung on the employment ladder through the hospitality industry. And then you have very specialised, skilled workers in that industry as well. And it's important that we keep it competitive.
Okay, a couple of last questions, Taoiseach, before we let you go. A lot of people listening this morning whose kids will be going back to third level, I know we've had a huge debate in relation to that and fees, but can you give reassurance that it won't be €3,000 fees next year? I'm not asking you for the exact figure, but can you give reassurance that it will be less than €3,000 fees for third level?
What will happen now is obviously no funding was provided in last year's budget to enable that to happen in September. The same had happened the previous year, so it was in the current, it was in the estimates process last year that issue got resolved. There will be an estimates process this year, and the minister will be engaging with the Minister of Public Expenditure. But you can see the pressures now that will be on current expenditure, and it will be a tough negotiation between all the ministers and the Minister of Public Expenditure.
So no promises in relation to that?
Well, we'll wait and see in terms of what we can do, but we will be seeking to support people in third level, as we have been doing over the last number of years, through the SUSE grant, improving that, increasing thresholds, and also reducing fees, as we did over the last 2 years. So it's all there really to be negotiated now between now and budget, and there's like the next number of weeks will involve fairly tough negotiations.
Okay.
In terms of the estimates that ministers will be seeking for their respective departments.
All right. When will you pass the Occupied Territories Bill?
Hopefully in the autumn. That's the target date. Now we have had the pre-ledge, so I anticipate when the Dáil resumes that we'll be back into the Dáil with the bill.
Okay, are you optimistic there can be a peace or a ceasefire in the Middle East? You've been very critical of Israel, particularly in recent days.
I think it's shocking what's happening. I think this latest phase of the war is beyond any moral framework. The starvation of children as part of a war, the deliberate prevention of humanitarian aid from respected UN agencies, it is horrific stuff, and it is a shame on the Israeli government that is enabling this to continue. We believe all the hostages should be released, but there's a compelling humanitarian case here. We're dealing with a catastrophe. No one now in Europe or across the world believes that Gaza is anything other than a human catastrophe. And it is a terrible stain on the world and on Europe that this war has not stopped. And I believe that the international community has a lot of soul searching to do. We're witnessing the undermining of the United Nations and all its agencies who do phenomenal work to protect the most marginalized in the world. And the world is at a crossroads in terms of the decline in the rules-based order. Countries like Ireland depend on the rules-based, international rules-based order for our own security and sustainability into the future.
Yeah.
What's happening in Gaza is appalling, is horrific. We've run out of words to describe the misery that's been heaped on children.
Very final question before I let you go. I know you're going to tell me you're not interested in running for the presidency. I know you're not going to tell me if you've been speaking to Deirdre Heenan or Niall Quinn or anybody else. But can I ask you this? Will Fianna Fáil run a candidate in the presidential election?
Fianna Fáil will come to a decision in respect of this towards the end of August. In the beginning of September, and I will talk to members of Parliament.
Will you pull a rabbit out of the hat, as one of your party members said, you have a want?
Look, I appreciate, Shane, it's very difficult for yourselves because there's been a lot of speculation, and all of that. But I think I think the timeline is there in terms of in which the parliamentary party will make a decision on this.
And are you put out that a number of people in your party seem to be talking up your prospects and saying you'd be a great candidate? Is that a way of them ushering you out the door?
Oh, don't worry. I'm experienced in politics. I'd say there's a few might. But I know, I think people have been generous in that. I made a commitment going into the last general election. These are solemn commitments you make to people. I went before the people to serve in Dáil Éireann for 5 years. I went as leader of the Fianna Fáil party with a view to becoming Taoiseach. That has transpired. I have a commitment and an obligation to serve the people now on the basis of the mandate that I have received. That matters, I think, in politics.
It does matter. And do you accept that maybe this National Development Plan delivery on it over the next 4 years will form part of your legacy, that your legacy will depend on whether you can actually deliver on that?
It will. Not that I'm big into legacies. But I think what I want to do is to make sure that water, that you know, when I've been in government at different times. We never had an issue with utilities in previous governments, in earlier governments I served in. When I went to FDI companies and so on, we could be absolutely certain about the delivery of water and energy. We have issues now. I want to deal with that comprehensively over the next number of years. I want to deal with disability as well. I was in Middletown Autism Centre yesterday in Armagh, superb centre that's serving the island. But we can do more to expand that under the Shared Island Initiative. And we have good funding in the NDP for the Shared Island Initiative as well. So disability and child poverty are two other issues I want to comprehensively leave a mark on.
All right. Taoiseach Micheál Martin, thank you for talking to the news.
News Talk Breakfast with Ciara Kelly and Shane Coleman.
In association with AIR.
On News Talk.